1420 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Steve Kathan. New details emerging about who was on board that unresponsive business plane that ventured into restricted airspace over Washington, prompting a fighter jet scramble. CBS's Jeff Pagay says the plane crash landed in Northern Virginia.
The plane was registered to a Florida-based company owned by John and Barbara Rumpel. Speaking to the New York Times, John Rumpel said that his daughter, 2-year-old granddaughter, her nanny, and the pilot were aboard the plane. And in a post on a Facebook page appearing to belong to Barbara Rumpel, she wrote, "My family is gone, my daughter and granddaughter," changing her profile picture to one that seemed to include both.
With two close call incidents in recent days, U.S.-China tensions are running high. About the most recent, in the Taiwan Strait, the U.S. Navy released video of what it called an unsafe interaction as a Chinese warship crossed in front of an American destroyer. But Asia correspondent Elizabeth Palmer tells us
there are two administration officials in Beijing right now having meetings. So it's not out of the question that we'll see a direct President Biden, President Xi talk sometime later this year.
In Washington, CBS's Catherine Herridge has the latest information on the special counsel investigation into former President Trump about the handling of classified documents.
It could be a very consequential week. We believe the grand jury may be meeting in Washington, and there could also be this meeting with President Trump's legal team to get sort of a status report on where things stand. That can often happen at the end as a prosecutor reaches a charging decision.
Well, Trump was not among the many Republican presidential candidates who blitzed Iowa over the weekend. Today, one of them, Nikki Haley, told CBS Morning she's clear on one of the issues Republicans are getting asked about, abortion rights.
We can agree, let's stop late-term abortions. Let's make sure that if doctors and nurses don't believe in abortion, they shouldn't have to perform them. Let's encourage more adoptions and make sure our children in foster care feel love. Let's make sure contraception is accessible.
Court drama today in Britain when the central figure was a no-show.
Strike one for Harry. He failed to turn up for court to hear his lawyers make their case in violation of the judge's instructions. Harry's lawyer explaining the prince left California late after attending daughter Lilibet's second birthday. There's no jury in this trial, so annoying the one person who's going to decide your fate is not the smartest legal tactic. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 79 points. The S&P is up 5 points, and the NASDAQ is higher as well. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
Before New Cascade Platinum Plus, I would pre-rinse all my dishes because my old detergent just wouldn't get them clean. But now, I do dishes differently. A no pre-wash, no rewash, money-back guaranteed kind of different. Because Cascade Platinum Plus has double the grease-fighting power of Dawn built right in, with twice the scrubbing power, giving me a clean that lets me break all the dish rules. I just scrape, load, and I'm done. Yep. So clean. With Cascade Platinum Plus, I dare to dish differently.
Right now, I'm driving to work, but that's not where I'm going. I'm going to more important things. I'm going to visit Papa. I'm going to go out with friends and to an anniversary dinner. And I look out at the big trucks and buses and people walking and think, we're all going somewhere. And we need to work together to share the road and get there safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Paid for by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Our mascot for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball team, Roscoe P. Rafter, welcomed the team's newest Fans for Life on Monday. The larger-than-life mascot visited the Aspirus Riverview family birthplace on the Rafters' opening day, May 29th, to present season tickets for life to the babies born that day. The beaming mothers posed for a picture holding little Madeline Georgianne and Eric Emmanuel, with their slightly dazed-looking fathers standing nearby. Congratulations to this year's newest Fans for Life and their proud parents. Three courses of Pfizer's Paxlovid treatment for COVID-19 will still be offered for at least another few months, even after the Food and Drug Administration granted Pfizer full approval Thursday to market the medication. The U.S. government has stockpiled millions of doses of Paxlovid. Over 14,000 new COVID-19 cases were reported each week last month, although most U.S. cases are no longer reported to health authorities. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 81. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 59. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 77, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 74.
Amory, Madison, Waukesha, Oshkosh, and we're still growing.
What should we call this radio station? Rebecca and she came up with, what about Radio or No?
Radio or No?
Radio or No? Welcome to Radio or No. Well, what do you think?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. And if you're just tuning in, we've already been on the air for an hour.
That's right.
Because we have a new time. We started at 10 a.m. today, and we'll, at least for the foreseeable future, we'll be starting at 10 a.m. and ending at 12. And so welcome to the second half of the show. We're happy to have you. But usually we are kicking off the show. So how does it... It's weird to think that we only have an hour left.
Yeah, it's very strange.
And so... So you might have been noticing some changes today. Changes to lineups. Changes to times. It's because we have a whole new lineup. And so it's a little different for each station. But yeah, we can, but also the app's getting updated this week.
It is. Not today, I don't believe.
Not today.
Over the next couple of days.
But if you already have the app, it should update automatically for you. But our new stations are going to be on there. It's going to have a new look, a new feel. So, but certainly go download the app. Take us with you wherever you go. You can just literally search Civic Media in your app store, whether that's a Google Play or the Apple App Store. But and then we're also rolling out new stations.
We are.
Who are we saying hi to today?
Isn't it WRJN?
WRJN. So we are now live in Racine and Kenosha, which is very exciting.
Absolutely.
So it's hard to keep up with all the...
And hello, Madison, by the way.
Oh, yes. We are now the 11 to 12. We are in Madison, my hometown, which is very exciting.
It is.
Coming on after Stephanie Miller for our second hour. Eventually, we'll get that first hour.
We love Stephanie.
But the truth is, I think now with this new lineup, Stephanie Miller is the only show anywhere on the Civic Media Network that is not a Wisconsin-produced show or not a Midwest-adjacent produced show. Because I heard, I think Rick Smith's in Pennsylvania, but he's like an ex-trucker. I was hearing that, so it's still kind of Midwest, but she's a nationally syndicated show, but everything else is made here.
And that's really the mission of Civic Media.
Yeah, totally.
Is to be local, community-based radio.
So, pretty exciting stuff. We will continue to bring you those updates as they happen, but if you're just tuning in now and you missed the first hour, you can go listen to it as a podcast, as always. You can find it on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. And I'm probably missing other ones. But all right. So I thought we could do, well, because we're probably going to be talking to them about them as they roll out. But June is always the month where the highest court in the land wraps up its term by the usually the last week of June. And in the weeks leading up to that, the justices reportedly scramble.
Oh, yeah.
To resolve outstanding cases and issue decisions, usually saving the biggest and the most explosive for last.
And then they get out of Dodge.
So obviously, the very last thing they ruled on last year was abortion.
Yeah. Shocker.
And this year... Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying they need to wrap it up because Clarence Thomas has a cruise trip to Bali planned.
With Harlow?
Yes, with Harlan Crowe. So let's
Harlan.
Let's get this done.
So this year appears to be no different. And they have a lot. They have a lot coming up. So the things that have already been decided for this term, was Clean Water Act last week or 2 weeks ago?
I believe it was last week.
So the Clean Water Act, protecting wetlands, the conservative bloc got that with, and basically they ruled that the court cut back on the power of the EPA to regulate the nation's wetlands and waterways. And basically for the past four presidential administrations, they have been in a fight over what constitutes a wetland dating back to George W. Bush. And so the ruling and the court's second major environmental decision in about a year that has nicked the EPA's ability to combat pollution. And so the Biden administration and environmental groups have argued for preserving broader federal authority over the reach of the law. But so strike down for EPA. And then the other one, and I don't know how I feel about this one. The other one they've decided so far is the liability of big tech. So this one was on May 18th, and the court ruled for Google and Twitter in a pair of closely watched liability cases where families said the terrorism of victims had not shown the companies aided and abetted attacks on their loved ones. And so it was basically the bigger consequences of that case were content moderation and like how the internet works and how much liability platforms have for what gets posted on there. And so basically critics say the increasing prevalence of content related to the terrorist cause requires more regulation. And that change could basically shift the foundation of the internet law. But the justices basically declined to address the immunity granted in Section 230. And so that didn't really change anything. But what's coming up? There is a lot coming up. So affirmative action is going to be decided on. And for decades, SCOTUS has repeatedly upheld using race as a factor in college admissions to ensure equality in higher education. But now they could be poised to rule against the practice after weighing two cases that allege the admissions process at Harvard University and the University of North Carolina end up discriminating against white and Asian American students. And so while schools argued that minority admissions will drop if affirmative action is ended, the court's 6-3 conservative majority called racial classifications dangerous and seemed skeptical of educational benefits. But it comes, this goes back to what we were talking about before, majority of Americans favor affirmative action.
Yeah, well, SCOTUS doesn't really care.
I know. I just thought that was interesting as far as public polling. A new poll found that 63% of Americans don't think the Supreme Court should ban affirmative action in college admissions.
Which almost guarantees they will do that.
Also coming up this month, student loan forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
And so last year when President Biden unveiled a plan to eliminate up to $20,000 in debt for more than 40 million people, it was very controversial. Some people were very happy about it. Some people were very angry about it. And now it is in the hands of the Supreme Court.
And I saw something pass by on Twitter over the weekend that I thought was interesting in that then if they're not going to allow this students to cut $20,000 off of their debt, Why didn't any of these wealthy people have to repay their PPP loans? All of that was forgiven.
I don't know.
I mean, and we're talking really, really wealthy people who got thousands and tens of thousands of dollars in PPP loans. But that's fine. You can keep that.
Because it was emergency? I don't know. I've yet to hear a good argument as far as why one is fine and one is not. But maybe, I don't know. Because it just comes down to fair. I mean, people argue that it's fairness, right? That the PPP loans were supposed to be used to, like, employ people and keep businesses open and, like, was more directly tied to the economy.
Okay.
Versus student loans is like, no one forced you to go to school. No one forced you to go to an expensive school and get your liberal arts degree. And so there is, like, for some reason in the messaging or at least how it's interpreted, it seems like there's inherent, like...
You did this to yourself.
Resentment of... I didn't go to college. Why should I have to pay for your loan forgiveness?
Or I did go to college and paid off my own loan.
Yes, that too.
Why shouldn't you have to do that too?
Totally. Also coming down, election laws. So,
oh, this sounds kind of important.
Yeah. In North Carolina, GOP lawmakers have said the formerly Democratic-held North Carolina Supreme Court overstepped its authority when it struck down Republican-drawn congressional districts because... According to the lawmakers, the Constitution gives state legislatures the power to determine how federal elections are run without any oversight from state courts, a.k.a. the independent state legislature theory.
Yeah, that's hooey.
If accepted, that could lead to major changes in how federal elections are conducted. Most judges seem skeptical, but in the end, it actually might not matter because North Carolina's highest court actually flipped. And they overturned its earlier decision. And so I don't know. But this was Harper v. Moore that everyone, especially legal scholars that I know, were like, in the fall, we were talking about this all the time. We had Jim Santel to come on and talk about this. But I think everyone kind of like exhaled a little bit once the oral arguments were heard because it sounded like most of the Supreme Court wasn't necessarily buying the arguments from the GOP.
That would be... That'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. And so there's a couple more I want to get through. How much time do we have?
We have about a minute and a half.
So, LGBTQ plus rights and free speech, because the website designer, remember that? So the website designer, Lori Smith, sued Colorado over a state law that requires businesses to offer the same services to everyone, regardless of sexual orientation. Which Smith says violates her right to free speech. During oral arguments, the conservative-leaning court, which has recently ruled in favor of religious plaintiffs, appeared sympathetic to Smith. So that could be a big one as far as coming down and saying you can refuse service because of your religious beliefs. So you can basically refuse service.
Or discriminate.
Or discriminate.
Another word.
So there's a couple more we'll run through after the break. But yes, this is As Goes Wisconsin, and we're talking about what cases we're looking forward or not so much to hearing from the Supreme Court in their rulings for this term. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I had a chat with Ho Chi Minh, sipped rice wine and chased with gin. Won't take long, that's a miss, my guess. I have you out of this doggone mess. I set up cable to Bali Mac. Let them know I'm coming back. Sit right down with Rockin' Nicks. Teach them both some of Pigmy's tricks. You son of a gun, you. Come November election time. You vote your way and I vote mine.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official mill plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The Wisconsin Rapids area will host the 18th Annual Cranberry Blossom Festival, June 15th through the 18th, 2023. Join us as we celebrate our blossoming community with 25 events for the whole family, including a carnival, live music, arts, a parade, and more. Known for our rich cranberry heritage and special events, the four-day event highlights and supports outstanding groups in our community. Traditional favorites include the Berry Fest Raffle, the Dairy Berry Breakfast, Cinema Under the Stars, Kids Fishing, Arts and Crafts Parade, and the Duck Derby. For more information, visit blossomfest.com or check out their Facebook page.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
The few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70.
Well, you know, me and Cage, we're Lakers for life. But there's one player, don't matter what team he's on, he's incredible. Follow me for the changes. Antetokounmpo, 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 1, 2, 3. Antetokounmpo, 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 MVP. Antetokounmpo, 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 yes, it's true. Antetokounmpo, 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 we love you!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are running through some of the expected cases that are going to have rulings from the Supreme Court this month. And so some of the other ones we were running through, but this is an interesting one, the online messages and threats. So when does First Amendment protect threatening speech? So a singer-songwriter was terrorized by online messages from a man she never met, and the justices are weighing whether to find the sender or speaker of such messages criminally liable, which I don't think I understand this enough now, because I would have thought that you can't just send threats, can you?
I didn't think so. I always thought that was illegal.
And so his obsessive online posts terrorized her, but were they illegal? So that could be interesting. It could also be interesting to see how that fares against with like elected politicians and the threats that they receive.
Absolutely.
So that one's
they
still
take those seriously. Why wouldn't they take those seriously against any citizen?
I totally agree. There's also going to be a case, Merrill versus Milligan. So race in congressional districts. What role should race play when drawing congressional districts? I'm going to run through these faster, but certainly as these roll out, we'll actually
talk about them more
and what they actually mean once the ruling comes out. But then there's also immigration and deportation, which United States v. Texas. How broad are the president's powers to decide which undocumented immigrants to detain? We already talked about free speech and gay wedding websites. Native American adoptions. Is a law prioritizing adoptions of Native American children by other Native Americans constitutional? Time off for Sabbath. How must employers accommodate religious workers who ask time off to observe the Sabbath? Some more religious stuff. And I think that's the big stuff, I think. So plenty of topics for us to dive into as they roll out in June.
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY if you ever want to call and or text. Earlier segment, we were talking about this independent legislature. This is going to be coming up as well before the U.S. Supreme Court. Mark from the SEC is on the line. Hey, Mark, you want to delve into that a little bit more?
Yeah, I think the 14th Amendment actually tosses out the whole independent elector theory. That the Section 2 of Article 14 of our U.S. Constitution actually says, but when the right to vote in any election for the choice of electors for president, vice president of the United States. And it goes on. But it actually, to there, it actually says that we are the people, that the citizens are the ones who select the electors, not the legislators. I mean, it just is in plain language in the U.S. Constitution. And how you can ignore that is horse hockey, as Colonel Potter would have said on the old MASH thing. And for those who aren't aware, that's what drops out of the end of a horse when and you just talked about threats. I mean, that if you start threatening somebody, I don't care who you are, who you're threatening, that's a crime. Pure and simple, that's a crime. And there's nothing to do with free speech the guy is, I don't know what the heck he is talking about there. If he says, oh, it's my right to threaten him, well, then I could be calling up, the Republican legislatures and issuing all kinds of nasty threats to them. And is that free speech? No, it's not. I mean, my only threat to them has been that I call their offices. I say, I hope you're haunted every night when you fall asleep with the punishments of Tantalus or Sisyphus, or at worst, Prometheus, get your liver eaten out every night when you fall asleep.
Oh, Mark, you give them you give them so much credit for being well read. I really think that's gracious of you. I doubt that many of them have actually ever read the Constitution.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And it's our Supreme Court that's supposed to be the ones that are reading it.
Yeah.
And if they read the Constitution, they actually, in the Constitution, there's nothing that says they get to decide the constitutionality of laws. I mean, Hamilton explicitly says that, I think, in Federalist 81, that there's not one syllable in the Constitution that gives them that power, period. Well, if you're concerned about direct enumeration of the Constitution of all these powers, then you have to recognize that one as well. I mean, it is just asinine that these guys think that, and I didn't read the Federalist Papers until very later in life. I mean, that I can remember being familiar with them when I was back in high school, which is a long time ago now. But I mean that it is just ridiculous that these guys, and now they kind of want to jettison freedom of religion, or freedom from religion, say, the United States can decide whatever it wants, to establish religion in this country. No, it can't. It explicitly says in the Constitution, we're not going to establish religion in this country. I mean, it is just beyond me how we just can't let them get away with it.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks so much for the call, Mark. I found a little bit more information about what the question is at hand with the online threats. So basically, the justices are revisiting, and they've never really answered this in the past. So it basically involves the limits of free speech. So to find that a person has made a true threat of violence unprotected by the First Amendment, the question is, does the government have to show that the speaker intended his messages to be threatening, or is it enough that a reasonable person on the other end understands them that way? So it's basically proving intent versus having to prove impact.
So,
which is wild to think about.
So someone calls or leaves a text message saying, I'm going to rape you. That should just be, he didn't really mean that.
And this is the thing, who's the burden on then? Who does the burden fall on? Like the prosecutors or the defendants? Like, I don't know. That's a wild case. All right, when we come back, we're going to change it up a lot. We're going to talk about swearing and cursing. So we're not going to actually curse on the show, unfortunately. I'm not going to make Jane run to the dump button.
I can't move that fast.
But we're going to talk about the origin, the evolution with Joe Selmans. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Officials warn the hot air temperatures can make playground equipment hot enough to burn exposed skin. Metal slides can reach dangerous temperatures, but so can plastic ones. You need to check the equipment before you let your kids play on hot days, especially for playground equipment that's in direct sunlight. Second and third degree burns can happen within minutes. Officials suggest taking kids to pools, beaches, or splash pads on really hot days. The Spash Boys track team claimed first place at state track and field championships last weekend. The returning athletes were welcomed home with a police escort through the city to the high school. A celebration in their honor took place at the Spash Fieldhouse with students, parents, faculty, and community members honoring the athletes for their accomplishments. The Rafters lost to the Madison Mallards at home last night. They take them on again tonight at 6:05. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petucation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Meet Ingrid. Fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. Matchingdonors.com.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 81. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 59. Slight chance for scattered storms again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 77. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 74.
I'm right there with you.
And I've gotten in debates with people in the past as far as what that says about you when you're so willing to curse and what it says about your vocabulary and your class and your how smart you are. And I just want to go on record that everything I've ever read and looked up is that there is absolutely no correlation with those things. And so we wanted to bring on returning champion, returning linguist champion, Joe Salmons, professor of linguistic, linguistics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Welcome back, Joe.
Hi, great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so I think just full stop, is swearing important to language?
Of course it is. I mean, it's how we communicate information. That's an important piece of it. You don't swear gratuitously. You swear to accomplish certain kinds of goals in conversations with people.
And go ahead.
Right?
But when it's used so often, Joe, doesn't that take away from the impact of a curse word?
Well, there's a different issue. There are situations where you use it and where you don't use it. That it definitely matters. It kind of reminds me of the old English teacher thing that you should never say very. That when people say very, what they really mean is damned. And if that's what you mean, you should say that. And you've got the whole issue of how emphatic you're being. I'm guessing when Kristen is really cussing up a storm, there's a reason for it.
Well,
it's for emphasis, hobby, Kristen. It's for emphasis.
The hobby or just habit. What is the? Has there always been curse words? Like, has there always been words, no matter how like language has evolved, that were seen as more obscene but had a purpose because of the way they made you feel when you said them?
Well, I mean, we've only got evidence back so far.
Yeah.
But as far as back as we have evidence, of course, there's a question of what is regarded as inappropriate, you know, what it's reasonable to talk about in certain contexts and not reasonable to talk about in certain contexts. If you just do a web search for Pompeii graffiti, you will find some really outrageous stuff from 2,100 years ago of various sorts. And even where we don't have a lot of information on languages, sometimes we have some really striking examples of it. So some of the earliest texts that were written in a kind of German were written in the 8th and 9th century. And one of the things they had just on a scrap of parchment or a scrap of vellum was some sort of conversational points for people who spoke old French if they needed to talk to Germans. And it was stuff like, hey, trim my beard, when are the evening prayers starting, and stuff like that. And then one of them is a curse, and sort of very understatedly translated, a dog's butt in your nose. And it's clearly they wanted to make sure that you knew if you were going to Germany, you had to have some way to tell people off. As far back as we've got stuff, we've got people using strong language in ways that I'm assuming that people didn't use that with their mothers and grandmothers.
That's so funny. So are there differences in who swears? Like, as far as what we know about who curses, is it different with gender? Is it different with ages? Is it different with, you know, education levels? Is there anything that has that been tracked?
Yeah, people have tracked all kinds of stuff, but it's sort of like what you said in the beginning, right? How do you measure it? You know, I could record 10,000 words of the two of you talking and see per 10,000 words how many of those are cuss words when you're not on air. But it's really hard to measure because, you know, maybe when you're talking to each other, it's particularly friendly situations or particularly trying situations, stuff really hard to measure. There are certainly differences, and there are lots of differences in who uses that kind of language and how much. But it varies like every other kind of language varies. I think from what I know, and this is not an area I've done real research on myself, but I think from what I know and from what I've read in the literature, if you have a broader vocabulary of profanities, you probably have a broader vocabulary in general. It's not that you pump up that one part of the vocabulary and you're somehow lacking in, you know, color terms or something. So it varies like everything else varies. All language varies according to social group membership, how you identify yourself. Gender is a part of that. And for a long time, there was this cliche that women didn't cuss as much as men. And there's some studies that sort of support it. But in the 80s, people started doing some studies. This one that just cracked me up. A woman who was teaching English at the University of Cincinnati just got really upset about people saying women never cuss. And she said, "That's crazy. I cuss all the time." And so she started surveying her students by gender. She just gave them this questionnaire and said, you know, how do you cuss? Which words do you, how often, which words do you use? Do you use them casually? And all they gave for identification was they marked their gender. And it turned out that in her study, I don't remember exactly what the numbers were, but women were basically, the college women were basically neck and neck with their male peers.
Interesting. 844-967-2789. If you have a question, our guest is Professor Joe Selmans, who is a linguist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We do have a text from John from the Falls. "Hey, ladies, interesting show today. My wife has been known to swear on occasion. She calls these words sentence enhancers."
Nice.
That's beautiful.
That's a beautiful way to put them. So I guess in that vein, what linguistically makes a good curse word? Because I've always thought it was hard consonants. Because they're more fun to say. And I can't say the ones that I want to say, but like a CK sound or something with a T. And so is there any kind of like how words feel in our mouths that create the physiological like connection to like why that word feels like you're accomplishing something by saying it?
That is an extremely interesting question. So there have been people have suspected for a long time that certain kinds of sounds evoke certain kinds of meanings. So there's a long story about gla, words that start with GL, pertaining to light, like glitter, glimmer, glamour, all sorts of stuff like that. That stuff has been really hard to show. I think as the old song says, it ain't what you got, it's the way how you use it. I think it's the deployment of them, how you do it rhythmically, where you use them, how you use them, that really makes them effective. But you may have started a new research project for me. I may have to investigate this.
I feel like I learned that in like an acting class once. It was like a Shakespearean acting class. We were talking about how like words feel in your mouth, and like the teacher, and she could have been totally full of horse hockey. But saying that as far as the phonetic way of, I don't know, it's like more guttural to enunciate the hard consonant when you're trying to get your point across.
And I was actually told that in a comedy class, that K is a funny sound.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm totally looking into this. I gotta figure this out.
We've just given you your summer project.
Like I needed another one.
And so, like, grammatically, is there a rhyme or reason of, like, how we use them as, like, nouns versus verbs? Okay. No?
Totally.
Oh, there is. Okay.
Totally. It's completely normal language. And we, part of the answer to your last question is that we like it when people use language creatively, right? And we can cuss in really interesting, creative ways. But we also have lots of things that tell us something about how language works. So we have prefixes, right? We put things on the beginning of words, and we have suffixes. We put things on the ends of words. A lot of languages also have infixes, where you put something in the middle of a word.
Like un-effing believable?
Exactly right. For a lot of people, un-effing believable and out-effing rageous are the two that they know. But, and you notice in both of those cases, you have one syllable, right? Out or un, and then you put effing in there. But I won't go into the details. It would take a long time and it's not worth it. But it tells us something about how words are structured in English. I bet you've never used that with the word Philadelphia, with a city named Philadelphia, unless you have some particular hatred of Philadelphia sports teams or something. But just go up to people and ask them, okay, if I'm going to insert that into the word Philadelphia, where does it go?
That's fascinating.
I would say Phila effing Delphia.
And do it with Sacramento, California.
Sacramento.
That's really interesting.
Mostly because this is the connotation. I could totally see someone from Philadelphia claiming that and saying, Phila effing Delphia. That's so interesting. Infixes. I've never heard them referred to as that. What else, is there other words we do that with?
Well, not very many. There's little bits of it hanging around. There's a thing with another, where people say a whole nother. That's a whole nother story. There are a few of them. Some languages do it all the time. English doesn't do it very much. That's kind of fits in the broader picture of how English works.
Joe, are there any insulting phrases from like ye olde England that we could bring into today to completely confuse people, like thou art an hornswoggled balderdasher? I don't know. They had such interesting terms from back then, and yet we all knew that, I mean, there was cursing in some form through most of history.
Oh, sure. And we have lots of evidence for that kind of stuff. It's been sort of a joke off and on, people who work on historical languages, that they're going to start bringing back some of these weird ones from the olden days. I mean, I still think the dog's butt in your nose thing is like, that's just a great, like, next time somebody cuts me off in traffic, it's probably what I'm going to yell at them.
We've also liked lazy sphincter as a new insult that we've learned recently.
Because that's actually a thing.
Because yes. Sphincter, very hard consonants to say. Is it true that the etymology of the F word is an acronym for the phrase for unlawful carnal knowledge? That's a myth.
There is actually a technical literature among historical linguists trying to figure out the etymology of that word.
Okay.
A very famous contribution by the famously profane Roger Lass is called Four Letters in Search of an Etymology. There are related words in some of the other Germanic languages. So German has one that's related, and we don't know. But this goes back to kind of some of your other questions. The history of these things is pretty shrouded, right? Like early texts, a lot of them were religious or legal. So we don't tend to get that stuff. And we just don't know. So that one is really obscure.
This segment wasn't long enough. Joe, we're going to have to bring you back. This was fascinating. And so many more questions. So now that it's the summer, maybe we'll get you on more. Because I have a question about using the word like, similarly, if that makes me a Valley girl or not. So next time we'll talk about that. Joe Selmans is a professor of linguists at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We'll be right back. Thanks, Joe.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
So, I have a question for all you guys out there. Why is it that I see you hauling all kinds of stuff in your trucks? Lumber, ATVs, furniture, and everything is strapped down tight. Except you. I mean, come on, fellas. You're just as important as your buddy's blue plaid sofa. Buckle up.
Pickups rock. They also roll. Buckle up in your truck and arrive alive. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
It'd be great if life came with remote control. You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control. Yikes. So you're on your own with the WASPs. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
75 cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 77 degrees.
She pulled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we're already to the end of the show.
I can't believe it. And I did want to share one more text before we move on from John from Menominee Falls. We were just talking to Professor Joe Salmons, who is a linguist at UW-Madison, talking about swear words. And John says, I'm just picturing your producer holding their hand over the dump button for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, Joe asked me, he said, before he joined us today, he said, what words should I not use? So I sent him a long email listing just about everything that I could think of.
You did just send him George Carlin's 7 words you can't say on
TV?
Well,
there are more than 7, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would have thought they would have gotten more relaxed than there's more now.
Again, I just sent him a long list, and I said, if I forgot any, don't use those either.
Well, we also got a comment on the YouTube live stream from Josh Egan, who said, this segment is effing outstanding. But talking about this made me think of the first time I think my mom ever heard me say the F word, and I was terrified. So I was in the basement of our Madison house, and it's funny because I think I was around 8 or 9, and I was big on making myself like chocolate milkshakes or malts.
Okay.
Because I knew how to use the blender, and I would scoop ice cream in there and I'd make it, and I had a sweet tooth and whatever. And then I was in the basement watching TV, and I was getting all set up, and I spilled the milkshake.
Uh-oh.
And I just yelled out F, and then I heard a and I whipped my head around, and my mom was standing on the stairs of the basement.
Oh no.
And her eyes were just big, and she just walked back up the stairs. And I thought I was gonna be in so much trouble. But now that I'm actually an adult, and I'll have to ask her this afternoon, I was like, did you have to go upstairs so you could stop yourself from laughing in front of me?
But you were how old?
I was 8 or 9.
Oh wow.
And so, but I'm sure I had heard it from one of my parents.
Right. I guess the thing that I
also had an older brother, so I probably
might have heard it from him. But the one thing that I do not like that people tend to laugh at are really small children who drop F-bombs, and it's not cute.
I think it's kind of cute when they are trying to pronounce something else.
Well,
and it sounds like a curse word.
That's inadvertent.
But yeah, just getting your 3-year-old to curse is like, man.
That's not cool. I wouldn't do that.
No, I was 8 or 9, and I knew what I was saying. But I don't think I remember getting in trouble for it. But I think, like, looking back at it, it's probably because she thought it was hilarious. And so, but yeah, I think that's a fascinating topic. And originally, I had heard it before. But recently, Freakonomics had an entire podcast on it saying swearing is more important than you think. And so I'll put that in today's show notes as far as like getting further into the etymology of it and like why we call it swearing and in vain and all of this different stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's super fascinating to learn more about. But yes.
We'll have Joe back.
We'll have Joe back for sure. There's probably a variety of different topics we could talk about with Joe.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so I just wanted to briefly, Pride this weekend was a success.
Yes.
It was so
fun.
Went
to the parade.
So this is my first Milwaukee Pride, which was, I've been to many Prides. One of my friends that I was there with, they're like, have you gone to Prides before? And I was like, I've been to LA, San Francisco, and New York. They're like, oh, so you've gone to like the Prides.
Yeah, the big Pride parade.
And, but it was so fun. It was so fun. The Pride Fest at the Summerfest grounds was very fun. It was very good people watching, of just watching the different types of people that are there just running around. But it's also, and I was saying this before, to a certain extent, every festival in the Summerfest grounds feels like same, same, but different. I think, right? It's like you just kind of change like the atmosphere or the music, the cot, like the what people are wearing, but it's like it's still like the structures are all the same. The food is largely the same.
Yeah.
The drinks you can get there are basically the same.
The vendors might be a little different.
And the vendor, like, yeah, like the tents that are there, yeah, and stuff like that are a little different. And so that was fun. But clearly, as we've continued the theme of heartburn, there's not a lot of stuff at the Summerfest grounds I can eat without regretting it within an hour. And so, but then yesterday, the parade down 2nd Ave was so fun. It was 2.5 hours.
Wow.
It was so many. First of all, goal for next year, if Sage is listening, I think Civic Media needs a float. And if it's not, As Goes Wisconsin will definitely have a float.
Oh, that would be fun.
To walk in the parade. But I saw so many people, friends of the show, friends just of like that I know throughout the community and throughout Milwaukee. And there's just something, first of all, it helps when the weather is as good as it was this weekend.
That was perfect.
But if you've never been to a Pride, I encourage you wholeheartedly to go.
Even if you're straight.
Even, especially if you're straight,
right,
actually. Like, if you have any reservations of, like, I don't know what it is, I don't know if I'd be welcome, like, I don't want to feel out of place, like, go see if there's a local parade near you. There is so much joy, and there's so much celebration, and there's so much good music. It's a parade, so there's candy. But, like, it was so fun to see. We kind of, like, had staked out a little corner with three of my friends. And then there's two of their friends who are married to women, and their kids who they've adopted. And the girl was like so proud of her moms.
Really?
Oh my gosh. She was painting rainbows on everybody's faces, and she was so excited. And so she's like 8. And so she was over the moon. But then we had other friends show up, like with their like newborn, and it was just so community oriented and all ages and fun and celebrations and stuff. And so like it's I think there's, you could, if you fall prey to people who want to tell you what Pride is and show you images of, you know, bondage and S&M and stuff like that, to tell you like how sexually explicit it is and how you shouldn't take your children there and how, you know, it should be, you know, it's damned or like, just go to one. Just go to one, because I guarantee you will smile. And I guarantee someone will be incredibly warm to you, and you'll leave feeling better than you did when you showed up.
That's wonderful.
That's how I feel.
That's great.
And then I also have to share the best church. What is it called when they put the little like
the sign out front?
The sign, like the signage out front of a church. This is Clackamas United Church of Christ. It says, "Happy Pride Month. Jesus had two dads. We think that's fabulous."
You go.
You go, Clackamas United.
Well done.
All right. Well, first 2-hour show in the bag. Easy peasy. Come back tomorrow at 10 a.m. when we will do this all over again. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the show. We'll see you tomorrow. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. You're Lebanese, you're Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast, for leader teased, rejoice and love yourself today. Cause baby, you were born this way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track. Baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white or beige, should I or Orient made, I'm on the right track. Baby, I was born to be brave.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life.
made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources, and Services Administration.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.